want to sit on the floor towards the front. I feel bad that you guys are standing. What we would love to do, one of the things that we value in 24/7 prayer is stories. And the fact that actually in this room, yes, I'm going to be talking a bit. We're going to interview some friends from the Netherlands about some stuff they've been doing. Carla's going to share. But we are not the experts. We've learned some things, but actually a lot of what we're going to be sharing with you guys is what we've been learning from people like you around the globe. And we're just collecting those stories and then passing them on to you guys. And so all of you guys in this room have a story. There are experiences and skills and expertise in this room. And so hopefully, if anything, out of this seminar, you guys will hear something from one another. And rather than just looking to Carla and I, you're going to arrange some coffees with one another and say, tell me what you did. I want to learn more. What could that look like in my context? So that said, who, just by a show of hands, who here has been involved in a 24/7 prayer room before? Okay, so probably the majority of you. So what would be great, maybe just to kind of begin getting your brains thinking, turn to the person next to you and tell them, why are you here? So you've maybe been involved in running a prayer room before. Why are you here this afternoon in this seminar? What is your expectations? What are you hoping to get out of it? So just 1 minute, really quickly, just share with each other quickly what you're expecting to get out of this time. Next to you, and hopefully by kind of sharing why you're here, because I think sometimes for me, like, there's something in me that is drawn towards something, but I don't especially know why, and I think sometimes it's helpful for us to articulate why we've chosen to come to a certain seminar. So for those of you, there's a few of you who didn't raise your hands as far as being involved in a 24/7 prayer room before. Kind of traditionally a 24/7 prayer room, and I use the word traditionally quite loosely, because in 24/7 prayer, it's looked very different everywhere you go. But essentially, it's been a room that has been, or some sort of space that has been set aside for the purpose of night and day prayer. And you know, different churches, different groups have done it differently, and that sometimes it's in a dangerous place. They can't pray through the night, so they'll do most of the day for a week, or that sort of thing. But it's in that space. There's space for creativity. So there's usually some prayer focuses that are done in a creative way to help people really engage in prayer, so that they're less intimidated about coming into, you know, praying by themselves for an entire hour. And so there's these prayer stations that give some focus and some just kind of help people get going. So that's kind of what we mean around 24/7 prayer rooms. And so in 24/7 prayer, I think we learned something quite early on about prayer in the prayer rooms, is that if it's truly the kind of prayer that is really connecting with the heart of God, then it's going to end up that prayer is going to leak out of the four walls of our prayer rooms, and it's going to leak into the streets of our communities and the people around us. And I think we also learned early on is that the prayer that happens in the prayer room is not to get God to bless our big ideas and our great plans, but it's where we go to position ourselves to receive his strategies, his ideas, his creativity. And that has resulted in our prayer rooms across the globe looking very different. You know, they have been done in schools, in university campuses, are you all right?
Sorry.
Okay. A bamboo hut, they've been done. We always like to say that it's been done in a brewery in Missouri because it rhymes. It's fun to say. And you know, military bases. They've been done so many different places and ways. So today we want to look a little bit around how to kind of reimagine this, because I think it's very much human nature that we do something and it's a novel idea and it's exciting at first and we see fruit, and so we keep doing it and it's great, but then we keep doing it the same way and you get tired and it gets a bit samey and people start losing interest and you can kind of get stuck in a rut. And I think sometimes that happens because in life, especially in the church, we can be so busy and life can be so full. And so we stick to what we know because that's what's easy, to just keep delivering what we know. But hopefully today we can help you guys breathe some new life into your prayer spaces and reimagine what they might look like, so that it begins to impact not just small groups of people, but entire communities and wider. So we're gonna do that through looking at some scripture, sharing some stories. And so first of all, we're just going to look at Matthew 9, verses 37 through 38, and chapter 10, verse 1. And I'm reading from the Message version. And it says, "Then Jesus made a circuit of all the towns and villages. He taught in their meeting places, reported kingdom news, and healed their diseased bodies, healed their bruised and hurt lives. When he looked out over the crowds, his heart broke. So confused and aimless they were, like sheep with no shepherd. 'What a huge harvest,' he said to his disciples. 'How few workers. On your knees and pray for harvest hands.'" And then if you go to chapter 10, verse 1. "The prayer was no sooner answered, or no sooner prayed, than it was answered. Jesus called 12 of his followers and sent them into the ripe fields. He gave them power to kick out the evil spirits and to tenderly care for the bruised and hurt lives." So what we see here is There is so much to do, and Jesus sees this. There's so many lives that are broken, so many people that need hope, that need what he has to offer. And his heart breaks. His heart is moved with compassion. And in that, his response to that is not, let's roll out the same thing we've been doing. Let's roll out another program. His immediate response to that is pray to his disciples, pray. And then I love how it says the prayer was no sooner prayed than it was answered. Jesus called the disciples who he told to pray and told them to be the answer to their own prayers. And we feel like this is what so often happens in the prayer room, as we pray prayers that then Jesus gives us the power and the anointing to go and be the answers to those prayers. And I think this is a bit of a pattern with God. I think this is how God tends to work. And I think it's one of the ways, one of the main ways that he establishes his kingdom on this earth. And so we're going to go next to Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 38. And again, I'm reading from the Message. Directly on leaving the meeting place, they came to Simon and Andrew's house, accompanied by James and John. Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed, burning up with fever. They told Jesus. He went to her, took her hand, and raised her up. No sooner had the fever left than she was up fixing dinner for them. That evening, after the sun was down, they brought sick and evil-afflicted people to him. The whole city lined up at his door. He cured their sick bodies and tormented spirits. Because the demons knew his true identity, he didn't let them say a word. While it was still night, way before dawn, he got up and went out to a secluded spot and prayed. Simon and those with him went looking for him. They found him and said, "Everyone's looking for you." Jesus said, "Let's go to the rest of the villages so I can preach there also. This is why I've come." He went to their meeting places all through Galilee, preaching and throwing out the demons. If you are doing church ministry, planting a church, running a prayer room, this is the epitome of success right here. You know, he goes with his friends, he works a miracle, and then all of a sudden, he has people lining up at the door, wanting what he has to offer. And more miracles happen. And really, in some ways, if this is what Jesus came to do, he could have just planted a church right then and there and not left, and people would have loved it. And it probably would have been quite successful. But his response to what happens is prayer, is to go and spend time alone with the Father. And then he says, "Let's go. We're not going to stay here. There's more to be done. There's more people to be reached." And he goes, and I love how it says that he goes to their meeting places. He goes to where the people are, where they meet, where they gather. And I think when you read through the New Testament, how often does Jesus spend time in public places where people naturally gather? At a well, in the marketplace, and where the people are, that's where he goes. Really quickly, a beautiful example of this is one of our 24/7 prayer communities in Northeast Germany called Polylux. They serve on a housing estate called the Dotzeberg. And they've been there somewhere around 11 years. And in the early days, when they were trying to reach their community, they really struggled because for them as 24/7, it was natural that hospitality was one of the ways that they would reach their community, but they couldn't do that because people were poor. They could barely struggle, like they were struggling just to feed their own families. And so if they would have invited a family round to theirs for dinner, the family would have felt this pressure then to return the favor, but they couldn't afford it. And so there was this, like, we don't know how to get into people's lives because it's not, and so they had to begin to think and pray, God, give us your creativity. How do we do this? And so they're like, okay, where do people naturally gather in our community? And people gather outside. There's these little plazas, like these little areas outside. There's some wooden benches. And people just gather and sit and talk and smoke together and just chat. And so a couple of years ago, they started doing what we call the God Story. And they filmed it on the Dotzeberg, so it was scenes that the people were familiar with. And it's just basically telling the story of Scripture in a dramatic visual way. And then what they did is they showed these films outside, around campfires, where the people gather naturally, would give them free drinks, and then they would just sit and they would watch and then they would discuss what they thought. And I just had the privilege this past summer of being there with them for their very first baptism. Wow. This young girl who is the first fruits of them doing this gathering around the campfire because they went to where the people naturally gathered. And this is what we see Jesus model in this passage. So maybe a few people tell me, what's your name?
Amy.
In your town, where are you from?
Hamilton, Ontario, Canada.
Okay. Where would people kind of naturally gather?
Coffee shops, parks.
Yeah. So what would it look like to go to where they gather and take prayer to those places?
I think, like, initially being just a presence. I don't know beyond
that. That's okay.
Yeah.
It's just to get us thinking, like, where in your town? Like, just take a minute and think. Where in your town, where you're from, where do people naturally gather? You know, the young people in your town. I find young people hang out in the most random of places. The train station. They're not going anywhere. No one's coming in. That's just where they're hanging out. Where are people naturally gather? What could it look like to take our prayer rooms to those places? So really quickly, we're just going to run through, and I've not been doing this at all. So this was just from the Germans campfire evening. So we're just going to talk about kind of some essential elements in reimagining prayer spaces. So first of all would be hospitality and welcome. I love hospitality, and I think I had this revelation a while back. I think one of the reasons that I love setting up a prayer room is because it is a place of welcome and hospitality. It is a place of welcome and hospitality to the presence of God and then to people. And the fact that I get to host a room that creates a welcome for God and a welcome for people that then creates a connection point between God and those people, that's why I love prayer rooms. First of all, if we're going to reimagine what prayer spaces look like, they need to be welcoming first to God. So it means that we pray in that space first. Before we invite other people in, we pray in that space first. We welcome God and His presence into that space. And then we welcome others. How do we do that? it's more than just a smiling face. I think that's pretty essential, but it's more than just that. There needs to be this balance between friendliness, that smile, that engaging people in conversation, but also noticing when they need space. I think something in our culture that people are hungry for, even desperate for, is a place where they can find space, quiet, to just breathe. There's not a lot of places in our lives where we can find that. And so a space where we are welcoming and friendly, but people also feel like they're being given space to just breathe. And so make it comfortable. Keep it tidy. Some people won't notice whether it's tidy or not, but the people who do are going to find it really hard to rest if it's not tidy. I'm one of those people, so I know. So make it comfortable and keep it tidy. Food and drink. If you are in a hot place, can you offer cold drinks? If you're in a cold place, can you offer hot drinks? And one of the things I'll say in there as well is, in offering people maybe some food and drinks, think about food allergies. I know that doesn't seem like a big deal, but actually, as a person who has food allergies, how I feel when I go into somewhere where they've actually considered my food allergy without even knowing I have one, I just feel like, it just, again, makes me feel that little bit more looked after, cared about, valued. And then making space for new prayers. So if we're doing, if you're doing like a prayer wall or something and it starts filling up, that's another way of creating space for people. Make sure that you're taking down when things start getting too full and making space for new people coming in. Be attentive and fully present. I think it's so easy when we are intentionally trying to give people space and not encroach on them or make them feel like we're trying to engage them in conversation when they don't want to. It's easy then to, like, maybe a couple of us to start chatting and so it's really important actually to remain fully present and attentive, because they will feel that from us. An example of kind of the being attentive and fully present, it's being attentive and fully present to them, but also to the Holy Spirit. What is He speaking in that moment? You know, maybe you've been trying to give them space, but maybe Holy Spirit is saying, go talk to them, go just offer them a tissue, like whatever it is, but go. And great example of this in Edinburgh, at our church, a couple of girls had come along to the student alpha course. And they came along because one of their favorite vloggers had recently attended an alpha course and gave their life to Christ, and so then was vlogging about it. And these girls, never been in church before, loved this vlogger and were like, we want to check out this alpha course thing. So they Googled for the nearest alpha course. Just so happened our church was about to start a student alpha course. So they went along, and they'd been coming for a few weeks. They were really enjoying it, but hadn't really made that next step yet. And one of the student leaders, at the end of one evening, just had this funny feeling that one of the girls needed to go into the prayer room. And she's like, how am I going to get her into the prayer room? And so she was like, oh, will you help me take all the cushions back to the prayer room? And so she did. And as soon as the girl stepped into the room, she just dropped the cushions. And she was like, whoa, what is this place? There is something in here. And she explained, oh, this is our prayer room, and this is what we do, and, blah, blah, blah. And the girl was just like, oh, so these are, like, prayers that people have written up. And she's like, yeah. And the girl just started going around the room, and so she just quietly backed out, left her to it, you know, came back about half an hour later, and the girl was just in tears. And she was just like, this stuff's real? Like, these prayers that people have written up, this stuff's real. This God is real. Mm-hmm. And that was like that was what clicked for her. Like, all the information through Alpha, it was great, it was doing its work. But it was that moment of encountering the presence of God in the place of other people's prayers that it made it click for her. But it was because that student leader was being fully present and attentive to the Holy Spirit's nudging. Second element in reimagining prayer spaces is creativity. I really believe that the combination of hospitality and creativity is a powerful combination. Phil Togwell, who leads prayer spaces in schools, when he talks about prayer spaces in schools and what these places of prayer do for the young people, he makes this statement, and I believe it is true of what our prayer spaces can be. He says that it clears away the religious clutter. The use of creativity in the room clears away the religious clutter for the young people. And there's this quote by C.S. Lewis that it's small, so I don't know if you can really read it on there, but I love it. When he was asked about why he chose fairy tales to communicate the gospel, he said, "I thought I saw how stories of this kind could steal past a certain inhibition which had paralyzed much of my own religion and childhood. Why did one find it so hard to feel as one was told one ought to feel about God or about the sufferings of Christ? I thought the chief reason was that one was told one ought to. An obligation to feel can freeze feelings. And reverence itself did harm. The whole subject was associated with lowered voices as if it were something medical. But supposing that by casting all those things into an imaginary world, stripping them of their stained glass in Sunday school associations, one could make them for the first time appear in their real potency. Could one not thus steal past those watchful dragons? I thought one could." And he did. So many lives were touched and even led to Jesus through the story of Aslan, because it was people's first introduction to who Jesus really is. And I think this is what creativity can do in our prayer spaces as we're trying to reach out to those that have not been able to experience the presence of God yet. Creativity gives people a language for what they previously didn't have language for in prayer. I mean, if we as Christians can feel daunted by going into a prayer room by ourselves for an entire hour, what is someone who has never been in church going to feel like being invited into a space of prayer? Creativity can give them a language that they don't have. And I think also that creativity reaches past those walls that we tend to put up. So it'll reach past some of those walls that people put up in their hearts when, you know, because of preconceptions that they have about religious things or Christian things. So just kind of an example of this, I set up some creative prayer stations one morning in this ministry in Aberdeen, Scotland, that was reaching out to women in a council housing estate, and they would meet every week and provide support to these women, some of whom were trying to get off drugs, trying to get back on their feet, that kind of thing. Others who maybe their partners were in prison, or like just women who were really struggling. but would never go to the church for help. And they asked me to come along and just talk a little bit about prayer and then do some creative prayer stations, which I did. And there was one particular one called Letting Go, where you just took a stone, anything you were worried about, let the stone represent that, give it over to God by dropping it in the water. Really simple, nothing magical. But one of the ladies who's never stepped foot in church, you know, isn't a Christian, but she was on a journey, she said, I loved that one. She said, you know, I take a walk by the beach almost every day. And she's like, now I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to look for rocks. And when I'm stressed and worried, I'm going to throw that stone into the sea. And I'm going to give all my worries and my stress to God. Love it. Love it. Guys, we need to use creativity if you're not convinced yet. And then keep kind of the creative prayer activities simple. Keep them accessible, kind of like what I just shared. It wasn't super Christianese language. It wasn't, you know, it was simple. And the way that we can kind of keep them accessible for everyone is, as I said, simple. So can be described in two words, explained in two sentences. Keep them relevant. Start with people's life and experiences rather than a religious idea. So if you're creating kind of a creative prayer station in your space, don't start with like a religious idea. Start instead with what is going on in people's lives. What do they need right now? Do they need peace? Do they need hope? Yeah. Interactive. Give them something to do, not just think about. Some people, especially if they're from really dysfunctional lives, being in a space where there's a lot of quiet, it can be a bit, they don't really know how to cope with that. And so something they can do with their hands can be really, really helpful. And then inclusive, welcoming to everyone, those of faith and no faith, those with different learning disabilities, which is why having something to do, things that are tactile, can be really helpful for people with learning disabilities. Really quickly, we're just gonna share just a few examples of some people that. In one of those photos where you see the T-shirt on the wall, there's some guys called Eden Project in London, and during the horrendous Grenfell Tower fires, their response to that was to put up these things for people to write their wishes and prayers on. And they hadn't even finished putting them up, and people were already writing their prayers on it. It immediately gave the community a way of responding that wasn't anger, it wasn't, you know, rioting, but it gave them a way of expressing their grief and their frustration. You'll notice the kind of shop front one. So there's a group of churches in the south of England that they've been coming together and doing prayer in their community. So one of the ways they did it was in a shop. They were given this space in a shop. When I spoke with the pastor, he was saying that actually one of the most powerful things about that week for people from the community that came in to use the space was the fact that they as churches were doing it together, that they were doing it in unity. Several different denominations, about 9 different congregations represented. And the community was just blown away that the church was doing this together. And he said in some ways, just that was what was the testimony for people, is that they were doing it in unity together. And we've been hearing a lot the past 24 hours about unity. So what could it look like for our reimagined prayer spaces to be a project of unity? It could be a great way for us to begin to come together as different churches and groups in our towns and cities. And then we have the prayer truck. So we've had a lot of mobile prayer rooms in 24/7 over the years. This one is in Canada, in Hamilton, which I feel like you guys should be talking about this. Do you want to say a little bit about it, Amy? We've got a...
Yeah, I actually work right near there.
Yeah.
The building started at the Living Rock Youth Center.
Mm-hmm.
And so every year for the past, I think it's about 12 years now, they've been parking it behind the Living Rock and opening it up and putting paper on the walls. And people can come and pray. They can walk by. They can give them water. On Fridays, they give them freezies. And anyone can just come sit for hours and just pray, play an instrument. They have simple little... beating things in there, they do beatings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the young youth look forward to it every summer.
That's great. Yeah, that's great. Thank you. I had a little blurb to say about it, and then I'm like, why am I talking about it? You guys should be talking about it. And then we have the prayer ambulance, which I didn't have the greatest photo of, but in New Zealand. Do you know about the prayer ambulance?
I haven't actually prayed in it, but I see it around.
Okay, so they have parked it in different places. So they've parked it in places that where people who are on their way to work will be attracted to it. They've done it, parked it near schools. They've parked it in different places. The red one below it, that was one that Guilford used at their university campus for a while. And then the one beside it is one that has been used here in Belfast by the West Belfast community. And you see in that photo there, they even did it at the police station for a while. And then the one below is in the Czech. And I love what the Czech team said. So they did it this past summer. They went to festivals. They did a bit with students. But I love what they said about why they did it. They said, we wanted to challenge ourselves to step out of our comfortable church zones and meet people on the streets. We wanted to be present and available. Our desire was that people would experience God's love, kindness, and encounter Jesus himself. I'm actually just going to ask Edwin if he'd come up and just share a little bit with us about their caravan. This is their prayer caravan.
Yeah.
In the Netherlands.
Yeah, so we we are from the Netherlands, and we're part of the team over there. And part of our work is work with students. Our work started among students. And over the years, we saw loads of prayer rooms happening among students, but they were quite safe. So I was a little bit fed up with that, because I thought, we need to challenge those guys, because they have a lot to give. And as I shared this morning, there's a lot of, a big need for Jesus as well. So, and just like what you were sharing, we wanted to challenge the students just to be where the students are. Just meet them. If you pray for the students and you want to see a revival, you need to be out there and not in your own buildings and stuff like this. So I just stole the idea from I saw the prayer the old prayer caravan in some old brochures of 24/7 and that sort of that stirred our imagination. Hey, how would what it look like if we just buy a sort of a food truck thing and just encourage students to use it and park it in university campuses and it's great. And Denise she's part of a local team, a student community called Perplex. And they do, and this photo is actually from, it's one of my favorite photos, because it's at a student festival, and Denise's team is there just to hang out with students, because a lot of students are lonely, and those are all international students, So everybody, all the Dutch students were partying, like they were drinking like crazy, but the international students didn't know how to cope with that. They did just come to the prayer room and they played games with them. But you have more stories, so maybe you can tell what happens when you go to a festival.
Yeah, so we took the prayer van to the Freshers Week, and they have this festival. They already have a week full of partying, and then they have a weekend away. So it is a lot to take in. So we just took our van over there, and this is actually 2 years ago. We did it the same way this year. And what we experienced is that they're so tired of meeting all the people, partying all the time, and that they just can't breathe when they're with us. So what we've tried to do is to create the place of hospitality in front of the van. So put the cushions over there, get some music, a lot of games, just to make them comfortable, to be there with their little group of friends or come on their own. We've got our team over there to chat with them. With those Freshers Weeks, they just get a lot of information about pulling you into associations and everything. And we actually don't really explain who we are, because we just want to be there for them. So in the end, they often do ask, so what is this van about, or who are you guys? So this last year, there was this group, we played games, they were drinking beers, whatever, the whole student thing. And one of the guys, he actually asked, so can I go in that van? It's a prayer room. And I was like, yeah, you can go in. So at that point, the game was almost over. I was like, I think I need to go ahead to the prayer room. So he finds it comfortable to walk that way as well. So I actually went in. I had my phone on the charger in the van. That was very convenient for me. So I checked my phone, and then I heard his voice. He was like, Denise, are you here? Like, yeah. He's like, can I come in? I was like, yeah, please come in. So I just explained the little prayer stations in the van. And we did that with the prayer of our Father. Did you say our? The Lord's Prayer. Yeah. And that's the thing that he recognized. And then I explained the part that we pray for our friends. So I said, you can just write down your friend's name, and we can pray for them, or you can pray for them, like what you're comfortable with. And then he explained to me the three friends he wrote down. He explained all like their whole story. And I was like, well, shall we then pray? I was like, yeah, let's do it. So I just had a wonderful opportunity to pray with him. And just to share a little bit about what we believe. And I think this van has been such a great opportunity to open up conversations, not only about prayer, also just to have a space where they can share their lives. What I really believe is that when they feel comfortable in being themselves, they will open up to getting to know who Jesus is. So that's our first step. And like, I want to know who you are. And then when they feel comfortable, they often ask the question, so why are you here with this prayer room? I think it just opens up so many opportunities. And it gives just a great way to do so. It gives challenges as well. Like, there were drinking games in the van. I had to like ask them, like, I don't think this is really what you're supposed to be doing in this van, so took them outside. But then again, it also made good conversation, so yeah.
Thank you guys. Yeah. Thank you. So if you guys have some ideas that inspires you and you want to know more, grab these guys. Like, they're more than happy, I know, to chat with you. I'm just gonna ask Carla to come up and just do a little interview with her. So Carla, you were quite young when you experienced your first prayer room, right?
Yes, I was. Yeah.
How old were you, and why did you choose to go into this particular prayer room?
I was 18 years old. It was actually the first, some of you may know my story, it was actually the first ever 24/7 prayer room. It didn't have a name then. I had moved from the Midlands in England to my city of Chichester, which is a tiny, beautiful little city on the south coast of England for university. I was a dance student. And I rocked up at this church. I came from a Christian family. I was doing the freshers thing of how important is my faith? I now live on my own. Is this my family's faith? Is this a Sunday social club? Or does Jesus get a say in my life? So I was asking all those questions, which many students do when they go to uni. I joined this church because, for two reasons. One, they seem to really take their faith seriously. And two, there were many good-looking men in it. I married one, so it worked. I was kind of in that place of asking those questions, forging a new life, going to university. And they started this. The first notice I remember hearing at the church was, who wants to pray from 3 to 4 a.m. in the prayer room? And I don't know if any of you've given that notice, organising, and you're like eyeballing everybody in the room. I've given that notice. And all I could think was, oh my gosh, what have I walked into? What I didn't tell anyone, and I just did the avoid eye contact, don't volunteer by accident thing, was I really struggled with prayer. And when I say I struggled with prayer, I'm an extrovert, so I can talk. So in a church meeting, if you were to ask me to pray, I'd probably sound like I prayed quite easily because I can talk. But what I mean by I struggled with prayer, I struggled with... He's gorgeous. Don't worry, please, he's gorgeous. I struggled with daily, quiet, alone, me and Jesus, just building that relationship and conversation. That's what I struggled with. I struggled for a variety of reasons. One was focus. I am an extrovert, very easily distracted. You've seen the film Up. My husband thinks I'm like the dog that's like, so I'm very, very easily distracted. I try and pray, and within 20 seconds, I'm thinking about something else. So that was one of the things that I really struggled with. But I walked into this church that was running this first ever 24/7 prayer room because they were bad at prayer. So they decided, instead of calling a prayer meeting to learn to pray, they would pray without ceasing for a month. Pete was the youth pastor, Pete Gregg, so tell something about why that went away. I walked into the middle of this month-long prayer experiment, and all I could think was, my secret is about to be exposed. I can't pray. And now everyone's going to know it. Like, I can't pray for 10 minutes. How could I fill an hour? And you ask, why did I go to the first prayer? I didn't very much. No, I didn't. For the first few weeks, I avoided it quite successfully. Like, really well. I was busy, I was a fresher, I was going to uni, so I just didn't sign up for any prayers. A friend of mine, I think she realised I was avoiding it, and she told me, come for 10 minutes, I'll cover the hour, the chain will not be broken, and you can experience the prayer. Because I think she knew that if she got me in there, my perspective on prayer would change, and she was absolutely right. I walked into the prayer room, and my first impressions, for those of you who've been in prayer rooms, this probably sounds familiar, was a riot of colour and creativity. Like, we had a lot of artists in our church, so they had kitted, and because we were bad at prayer, they had kitted our first prayer room out with so many ways. You could spend the whole hour just moving from prayer station to prayer station. So if you didn't know what to do, they had the whole hour for you. And it was beautiful, and it was a bit messy, and it smelled bad because students were praying day and night in it, but it didn't ventilate very well. But it was a holy place, and it had a massive impact on me and my faith, and it's no exaggeration to say it did. My experience in that first prayer room with my community and the prayer room since did change the direction of my faith and life, so I'm very grateful.
So how would you say that's led to what you're doing now?
Okay, so two things really impacted me in my prayer room experiences, and some of you may have had the same thing. One was this. So because I found prayer really difficult, I saw prayer as a Christian duty that I should do, because that's what good Christians do, not as a living, breathing relationship and conversation and encounter with God. And that was purely because I found it really difficult. So I was going to the prayer room thinking, I'm going to do my duty. Instead of a duty, I found a person. I found the Holy Spirit waiting for me to show up. Now, there was nothing special about the prayer room, and I'm seeing some of you nods. I think you've had the same experience. The prayer room itself, can I just say this? If you find a better way to pray, brilliant, don't do prayer rooms. Our vision is not prayer rooms. Our vision is we learn to pray and live in the presence of God, but we've found these spaces help at the moment. And so for me, it wasn't that prayer was special. It was almost like God got me alone somewhere. He could get my attention. And I found a person waiting for me. And with the creativity you described, for me, it doesn't just help with people that don't know God yet, us offering ways for them to pray. It really helped me, someone who'd been a Christian for years. Because what I realized was, we all have seasons of our life where prayer is difficult, and that's inevitable if you're a Christian for any period of time. And that happens for a variety of reasons. We all know that, right? Difficult things happen, or you just go through a dry spell, or God is calling you deeper, so you've got that like tough pull of, oh, I'm not quite, I feel like I'm not quite sensing you, He's calling you deeper. We have difficult seasons of life with prayer, but actually, for me at the very beginning, and I think for a lot of people, the reason I found prayer difficult was I hadn't found my language with which to talk to God yet. And I've been taught a way to pray from two different streams of church that I had the blessing of growing up with as a child. One way was with liturgy, which I now ironically love as an adult and find great depth in, but at the time found difficult to connect with. And the other way was the classic evangelical quiet time, where you sit very quietly and think my prayers in my room on my own. Being an extrovert, as I've mentioned, quiet alone in my room is punishment, not enjoyment. So now I find great depth in silence and solitude, but then that for me is a discipline. It's something I've learned to do. It's not my natural connection point. For others, my husband, silence and solitude is his connection point. He's like, get me away from everything, put me somewhere I can turn 360 degrees and see no one, and my soul wakes up. So we're very different. But for me, creativity is a way for us to explore and for our communities to explore how has God made us to connect with Him. Because I 100% believe that every single human being He has created is made for this conversation with God, for this encounter with His presence. But some of us who find prayer hard, maybe it's because we just haven't found the method of that conversation yet. So those two things, I was really impacted by the presence of God waiting for me to show up so He could do the prayer in my classroom and teach me. And the creativity that gave me freedom to experiment. And we know that's cool, right? Because, you know, Paul says to the church in the Ephesians, pray in the Spirit. That's the non-negotiable. He's our helper. On all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. Big invitation. Experiment. Give it a try. All times, all ways, all kinds. You know, lots of alls in that sentence, if you read that passage in Ephesians 6. Experiment, because then maybe actually we may find that our churches that struggle to pray could discover that actually just the predominant way we pray as a culture doesn't fit everybody in our church. So because that was my experience, I love so much about this movement, but if there's one reason I've stuck around for 20 years, I've now spent more of my life in this movement than I did out of it. I'm so grateful for that. The reason I've stuck around is I adore that moment when the light bulb goes on for people where they realise I can connect with God. I can hear His voice. I can experience His presence. I can learn to pray. And then for me, that's almost one of those foundational pieces in our faith that if you get that piece in place, all bets are off. Like, what can God do from that point when we learn how to listen and we learn how to talk and we learn how to hear that become the answer to my prayer? What trajectories could people be spinning off on? What ways could people be reaching out to? So that's, sorry, I get really excited to talk too much about it. that's part of what I adore about this movement that God is doing around the church and why I have stuck around. I love helping communities and people discover that.
Yeah. So that kind of like leads me on to the just the next question around, so in the role that you're in now as GB director, and even the role you had before then, you've had the privilege of hearing so many stories, visiting places that are doing prayer in unique and wonderful ways. Is there one in particular that really sticks out to you of someone somewhere that has done prayer creatively a little bit different, is it's reaching their community, not just their church, that you would want to share?
There have been loads. Okay, there's been one commonality that looks different but really inspires me. So this is a very long time ago, and I think it was in Germany. I was at a a youth conference with some teenagers, and this terrific team were setting up these prayer rooms within the conference for the teenagers who were present to come and pray in. And I walked into the first prayer room and it looked as I would expect: tea lights, fairy lights, gaffer tape, post-it notes. You know what prayer rooms look like these days, okay? So a few IKEA bits of furniture. And I was like, this is lovely, this is really nice, there's room to pray, there's room to paint, there's room to do it. I said, it's great. And I was like, oh, where's the second prayer room? And they walked me into this second prayer room and it was completely empty. It was just a white room with a chair in the middle. And I said, oh, when are you decorating that room? And they were like, we have. And in my pride, and in my, I know how you do this, you know, complete confession. And I was like, this is a disaster. There's nothing in this room. How are the teenagers going to pray in here? Because my experience was I found prayer hard. And they were like, no, we prayed about it. And God said, do that room like this and do this room like this. And I was really challenged, and I thought, well, if you prayed about it and God said, he definitely trumps my opinion of what should go into a prayer room. So I was like, brilliant. But I will be honest with you guys, I didn't have high expectations of that room that day. Went through the rest of the conference. I remember very much about it, other than lovely people, lovely time, a lot of teenagers. But at the end of the day, someone got up in the meeting and said, just want to share what's been happening in the prayer rooms, and shared a little bit about people praying and trying things. And just wanted to say that two teenage boys walked into the empty room with the chair, one at a time, not together, on their own, sat down in the chair. Both of them experienced something in that room that meant they gave their lives to Jesus that day.
Wow.
And I was so challenged by that, because what it did was, you know, I don't know if it's just me, but I so easily fall into, this is how you do this. I know how to do this now, okay? I've done it so many times. And the thing that it really challenged me about was, actually, this group of people trusted God enough to ask him how he wanted to do it that day. And then even though it wasn't the way they would think it could look, and or logic might tell you or experience might tell you to do it, they trusted God enough and trusted what they'd heard. They set up that space, and that led to two boys having a really important encounter with God that day. And I think for me, that was quite some years ago, but I've just noticed the things I've found most inspiring is when communities have taken the time to pray about their prayer. So even at the very beginning, Lord, we desire to pray, be that just within our community, we want to learn to pray together, or we have something we want to pray into, or we're going to bring prayer to a school, we're going to bring prayer to a community space. People that pray about it first and then kind of go with God's lead really inspire me, and it can often come up with quite creative outcomes. So yeah, that would be one that really challenged me. But yeah.
That's great. So one of the questions I was going to ask you was, like, if you know, if you had two bits of information out of all the things you've seen and experienced. But what I heard you saying in that is, I would say maybe your top tip would be pray, and get your ideas from that.
Yeah. Okay. Pray and listen. So yeah.
So can you, just in the last couple of minutes we have, Carla, could you? You are involved in helping something happen in the UK that is really exciting, but I really think that it could go wider than the UK. I think that I think that all nations, cultures, context could be really inspired by it. And so could you just share quickly what that is?
I've got this with me today. Forgive me, I was going to bring you guys some flyers, but the delivery person lost them. I'm so sorry. We have this vision, and it's really inspired by what the guys have been doing in the Netherlands, the Hamilton Prayer Truck, the shop fronts in Clevedon where the church is united to run it. We've had prayer rooms like that in public community spaces, welcoming those of all faiths and none to come try praying. We've had this happening all through the movement, haven't we, Edwin, for years and years and years. And we just felt, actually, next year, we're celebrating our 20th birthday from the first prayer room, and next year in February marks the 20th year when we gave this movement a name and invited people to take part. And that's 20 years, and we were like, what can we do to invite the church into prayer and mission afresh? And we met this terrific organisation called Hope Together, and we got together and we dreamed up what we've called Hope Spaces. We in the UK next year are inviting churches to unite together in their village, their town, their city, their neighbourhood, to choose a public space, much like Crystal was talking about. Where is your community hanging out? Where do they go? Where do they naturally congregate? And to create a creative prayer space that looks a bit like a prayer room, or if you're familiar with prayer spaces in schools, which are very similar, but they're outward facing, they're not Christian facing, they're just welcoming and hospitable, and the language is simple, so anyone can engage with it. They're like a hybrid of those two, but create a hope space, a prayer space, and invite your community to come in and meet the God of all hope. And try praying for the things they're worried about, or they want, or their family, or their town, or their needs, or their nation. And so we've created a little resource, this one here, if you want to have a flick through, about how that can happen, where you can have it. We've already got people talking about, we've got a cathedral in the north of England that are going to run the first Hope Space next month as a bit of a pilot to show everybody, which is great.
Nice.
We've got a place where they think they may have, in Britain we have these bright red telephone boxes, if you've ever seen them, tourists often get their photo taken in them because who needs a phone on a cord these days, but so there's this famous bright red telephone box in a particular area of England that thousands of tourists get their photos taken in every week, and there's a possibility you might be able to stick a prayer space in there, which would be amazing, you know, get your photo taken, do a little prayer. So, but which we're trying to encourage the church to get creative about, where is your community going to be? Is it a shop front in your town centre? Is it driving a caravan or a camper van or a truck up to a certain park where people congregate? Or, yeah, you guys know, is it a workplace? Is it a school? Where is it that your community gathers, and could we help you produce a prayer space that is outward focused, hospitable, welcoming, and offers them the opportunity to try praying, which is honestly, I think, one of the greatest gifts we can give away. And I'm just in time, so I'll stop. Sorry, I don't have flyers for you guys. If you're interested, I'm going to hand those out. But you can grab me this weekend. I have a few of these people to look for if they want to. But they're called Hope Spaces.
Great. Thank you, Kyla. And there's a website as well,
yeah,
if you're interested. So
yeah, if you're interested, 247prayer.com/Hope Spaces. You'll find it.
Yeah. So thank you guys for coming. If you have questions, I will stand out there in the foyer. If Carla has time, she will as well. And so if you have questions, feel free to grab us for a few minutes before you go to your next seminar. But we need to clear out of here for the next guys. So thank you, guys. Thank you.